your freedom washes over me. It brings new life, brand new grace. And I will bring an offering. All I have, take all of me in reverence to your majesty. Oh. God, my King, how your freedom is over me, yeah. It brings new life, brand new grace.
Brand new grace.
And I will bring offering. Take all I have, take all of me, in reverence to your majesty. Oh, and I will sing, yeah.
I will sing and shout till the walls come down. Sing your praises out till the chains break. Dance in your presence, hands up raised. This is a worship of your creation.
I
will sing and shout till the walls come down. Sing your praises
and dance
in your presence.
Victorious, victorious over all sin. You give me freedom, I'm forgiven. One mind, one voice together. We'll worship you forever. Victorious over all sin. You give me freedom, I'm forgiven. One mind, one voice together. And we'll worship you. Take all of me in reverence to your majesty.
Oh.
God, my King, how your freedom worship me. It brings new life, brand new grace.
Brand new grace.
Yeah, and I will bring an offering. Take all I have, take all of me.
The Lord, church, how are you all doing on this beautiful Sunday morning? And I am so excited. This weekend we have Sister Vicki Vernon and Brother Ben Vernon, and they are part of Calvary Gospel Church. And Brother Ben is going to be speaking here shortly in our first session, and then Sister Vicki is going to be speaking in our second session. But Brother Ben, I've known him for a few years now, and it has been a real honor and a privilege to have his and know him. An acquaintance with Brother Ben. I remember when Sister Vicky called me and she's like, you know, there's this guy. And I'm like, yeah, okay. And she's like, well, would you mind calling him for me? I just want to make sure that, you know, what he appears to be, that's really who he is. And we had a really good conversation, and then they came to visit us. I don't know if you remember the first visit, but we sat out by the grill, and I felt like I've known him most of my life, and that's just how Brother Ben is. But we love you, Brother Ben. We appreciate you so very much. Come share what God has in your heart with us this morning. God bless you.
Praise the Lord, everyone. It's so good to be in the house of God again this morning. Amen. Y'all can be seated. I have a little bit different version of what the pastor said. And I called him one day and I said, Pastor, I just wanted to give you a courtesy call. That's Sister Vicky and I. Vicky and I are dating. And, I said, I just wanted to give you a call. And he goes, well, brother, you're a little bit older than I am. I mean, like, he was just kind of stuttering. But anyway, our pastor is a great man. Amen. He has a wonderful, wonderful spirit. And we love our pastor. Amen. Amen. God is so good to us. Amen. We're so blessed. Amen. So they asked me to teach today. And it's Holy Ghost Sunday. And so I'm going to be teaching on that. Vicky tells me, honey, you're going to do great on this. I mean, I've heard you do this. And I mean, it's something that I love. I love to talk to people about it. I've used John, the third chapter, about Jesus talking to Nicodemus about the wind, about being born again. And I've actually did a mini quick Bible study within probably 3 minutes and prayed people through the Holy Ghost. I mean, it all depends on how you put it together. Amen. And I as you know, I told one of my cousin's husband told me a couple years ago, he's like, you know, won't you, you know, find someone to date, just go out to eat lunch. I was like, I'm not interested, brother. I said, but if that ever happens, it'll have to be someone that's in the same ministry and loves altar working as much as I do. And this lady, God brought us together. Amen. So, this morning, let's just pray a moment. Father, we love you. We praise you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your anointing. I ask you, Jesus, to help me to speak this morning. Amen. That you would have me to speak. I ask you to anoint my lips that I may honor your word, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to start first in the third chapter of the book of St. Luke. The title of this is The Promise of the Father. We have a pastor in Oklahoma, a young guy in his mid-30s, and we can call him, and just like that, he has us a graphic. He does a wonderful job. And he's just very precious family. But in the third chapter of the book of Luke, in verse 2, it says, Annas and Caiaphas being the high priest, the word of God came unto John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. And he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remissions of sins. Now, I had one of my young outreach ministers called me a few years ago. This Jehovah's Witness had come to see him. It's talking to him. And he was telling this young man, and he had just got the Holy Ghost, just began to live for the Lord. So he didn't know a whole lot about the word. But he called me. He said, "Brother Ben, I got a question." I was like, "Okay, Lewis." And he told me. I can't remember what all they were. But this man was telling him that John was baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. I said, "Well, no, that's not true, brother. That's not what John is doing. There was no name or title given except for repentance." And so I'll tell you quickly what happened. After about the third time he called me, I said, "Lewis, just let me speak to the man." So Lewis put him on the phone, and he started talking. And I was already reading in the 19th chapter of the book of Acts. And I let the man talk. And he said, "And Paul said, if any man, if I or another man come preach any of the gospel, then what I preach, let him be accursed." I was like, "Really?" He's like, "Yeah." I said, "So you mean to tell me that you're talking about lost, damn, going to hell, right?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Well, let me ask you if you're preaching what Paul's preaching." And I read him the first six verses of chapter 19 of the book of Acts. He said, "I don't have to talk to you anymore." He found out he wasn't preaching what Paul was preaching, and that he himself had just said he is cursed, damned, and lost. I mean, he just did it to himself. I mean, he inserted his foot, you know. So, amen. I love the word of God. Amen. And so it says, as it is written. Now, there was, I told Vicki this last night, I said there was two men that the prophets prophesied. Pastor, I never thought about it before. Two men. The main was the Messiah. The other one was his forerunner, John the Baptist. Two very important men that the prophets prophesied about. Amen. And you will find it as it is written in the book of the words of Esaias or Isaiah the prophet, saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare you the way of the Lord and make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God." Talking about Jesus. Then he said to the multitude that came to be baptized him, "O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" Verse 16 says, John answered, when they were asking him all these questions, John answered and saying unto them, "I indeed baptize you with the water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latches of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire." In other words, power. "Whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor, and will gather the wheat into his garner, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." When it says his fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge. And we all know what the word purge means. It means when we come to him, when we repent, he forgives us of our sins. He does not do it half-heartedly. He does not do an incomplete job, because he is just and faithful to forgive our sins if we confess them. Amen. And he will thoroughly, he will leave nothing undone. And he will clean out of our hearts anything that is not like him. Amen. Because he is holy. He is a holy God. He does not mix with sin. He will not live in the same place that sin lives in. Because light and darkness cannot dwell together. Light is stronger than darkness. Amen. It makes the shadows flee away. Amen. Then we can clearly and plainly see the paths we are walking. Amen. And so we have, and you can find this in the 40th chapter of the book of Isaiah in verse 1, where it talks about John, amen, being the forerunner for Jesus. Amen. The only other man that was quoted and was spoken of by the prophet was Elijah. It wasn't that Elijah was going to physically come, but that it says, but when Jesus, the disciples asked Jesus, they said, "Well, the scripture says that Elias or Elijah must first come." So Jesus said, Elijah has come already, if you will accept it. And he was talking about John the Baptist, which the scripture says that Elijah would come and he would turn the hearts of the children to the Father. So that's what John the Baptist did. He came and the multitudes of people came out to be baptized of John. And they came and asked Jesus some questions one day. He said, well, let me ask you a question and I'll answer yours if you'll answer mine. He said, the baptism of John, was it of God or was it of men? They said, we're not going to answer you. In other words, the scripture says that they say it weren't of God, then they were afraid that people were going to stone them. So they wouldn't answer the question because they knew that they should obey it. So we should obey it today. Amen. And so we find, amen, that Jesus began to talk about eternal life. Amen. And that he came, we know, to Jesus came and died on the cross for the sins of the world, for each and every one of us here today that have already been filled with the promise of the Father, the Holy Ghost. Amen. And so Jesus talked about it in the 14th chapter of the book of St. John. Jesus was talking about going away. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If were not so, I would have told you. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. So he was talking about leaving them. And so then Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not where you're going, or know whither thou goest. And he asked him, said, how can we know the way? Then Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come unto the Father but by me. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth you know him and have seen him. I read a man's testimony when I was still on Facebook. And they were Church of God. They didn't believe in the oneness of God. His mother, from what I can remember, finally understood it and obeyed it, but he hadn't. And he said one night, early in the morning, the Lord woke him up and said, read the 14th chapter of the book of St. John. He went back to sleep. The second time, the Lord woke him up and said the same thing to him. The third time he got up, pastor made a pot of coffee and began to read. He said, we read right into believing in the oneness of God in the 14th chapter of the book of St. John. It's there. It's the spirit of truth. Amen. And Jesus said, I am the truth, the way, and the life. He said, if I be lifted up, he didn't say we. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw men unto me. He didn't say, if we be lifted up, we will draw men unto the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. He did not say that. Amen. Because he plainly said, if you see me, you've seen the Father. He even told him, he said, I have come down from heaven. Okay, I'll try not to offend your pastor. If other denominations are right in saying that he's the eternal Son, that means if he's the eternal Son, he was physically with the Father from the creation of heaven and earth. But Jesus was born of a woman, right? 33 and a half years old when he died. How could Jesus been there physically, sitting with the Father from the beginning? He was in the beginning because the Word says, in the beginning was the Word. John 1 and 1, we know that scripture. And the Word was made flesh in verse 14 and dwelt among us. And the only way that he could have been from eternity is that he is God. And that scripture says he is. And he told me, he said, I came down from heaven. They look at him like, you came down from heaven? How did you come down from heaven? You know? In another place he said, if you had known the scriptures, have you not read the scriptures? The only way we're going to know him and truly know him is to read the scriptures, not just taking someone's word about it, but reading it and studying it. And the scripture says it will lead and guide you into all truth. Amen. And so, I kind of got off my subject. And so we find that Jesus was talking about going away, and he comes on down and he begins to talk to him about his name. In verse 13, it says, "Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him." He said, "But you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." Amen. So we're talking about the promise of the Father. There was a promise made to Abraham. Amen. That of his seed, amen, that he would be a father of many nations. And so the promise comes down to Jesus. Amen. The Messiah, the Savior of the world. And so we find in verse 26, he said, but verse 25, he said, "These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." I was listening to Brother Sam Emery preaching a while back, a few years ago, maybe 4 or 5, something like that. And he said this lady, he was teaching on our weapons of warfare, clapping your hands, dancing, worshiping. He was going through all the worship of the book of Psalms. He said, you know, we don't use all the weapons that God has given us in this warfare. And he said, this lady said, you know, brother, I can't remember anything I read. He said, ma'am, the scripture doesn't tell you to remember it. It says hide it in your heart, and then the Spirit will bring it to your remembrance. And that's what Jesus said here, that he will bring to your remembrance all things whatsoever I have said unto you. And if we study the Word of God, amen, there is times when, pastor, we're in a situation of prayer or talking with someone, and instantly the Holy Ghost will bring the Word to your mind. It reminds you of the Scriptures, whatever it may be, whether you're fighting a battle, whether you're in prayer, whatever it may be. If we read and study the Word and hide it in our heart, that we might not sin against him, amen, he will bring it to us when it's appropriate and when we need it. Amen. Whether you may be doing a Bible study, whether you may be witnessing to someone, it is imperative that we know the Word. It was so strongly with the Lord that he had them to wear a frontlet, that they could see that scripture every day, that they never forgot it. Amen. It was always there for them to see. Amen. And to read. And we should always have the Word set before us. There should not be a day that we should not read and study the Word of God. Amen. It might be, you know, if you're trying to find, if you're a young person, you're trying to find your walk and your way with God. You don't know and you don't understand yet. Read. Read, read, read. Something in the scripture will stand out to you, and it will be something you can't get away from. And when you begin to study it, then you begin to be led by the Lord. Amen. And that which he has called you to do, because it is there for each and every one of us. Amen. Whether it's the gifts of the Spirit, whether it's ministry, whatever it may be, and when we read, God will show us our place in his Word. Amen. Also, we find that Jesus was talking about the Holy Ghost. Amen. In chapter 16, in chapter 15, he was talking about how that the world hated him. And he said, if the world hates you, then it hated me first. And then he said, all these things, this is in chapter 15, verse 18. in verse 21, but all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. And in verse 26, he said, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth forth from the Father, he shall testify of me, and ye shall also bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. And in verse 16, in verse 7, he said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient, it is imperative, it is important that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. I mean, you're going to send him? You're going to send a body to dwell in us? And that wasn't what he's talking about. He was talking about himself. I will come. In one scripture, he said, I will come unto you. In another scripture, he said, we will make our abode with you. But here he says, I will send him unto you. But you've got to read it and understand what he's talking about. Because when he says we, he's talking about himself, the Father, and the Holy Ghost as being one. Because she says, we will make, you know, and then he says, I will send him. And he says, I will come. So you got to understand there's not a contradiction. You've got to understand what he's talking about here. And so he said, and when he is come, he will reprove the world, or he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Verse 13, he said, howbeit? Okay, so now sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them yet. Howbeit? See, he says, you can't handle this right now. He said, I'm telling you things and it's heavy. I know you don't understand. I know you got all kinds of questions. He said, you cannot bear this right now. He said, but howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that he shall speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. So Jesus is bringing everything right down to himself. Come unto me, if I be lifted up. You can't preach this gospel without preaching the name. The name of the word is called the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus said, Father, I have declared and manifested, and that means to be made clearly known, your name unto these that you have given me. And the only name, he never said Jehovah, he never said Yahweh. The name he declared was the name that the angel said would be given, and his name shall be called Jesus. It first said he shall be called Emmanuel. Then called Emmanuel, he said Emmanuel, which means God is God with us. But he said his name shall be called Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. Amen. And so we find that Jesus was talking to the apostles in the first chapter of the book of Acts. In verse 4, he said, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them. Now, this is after he had been crucified, and he appeared to them before he ascended permanently forever into heaven. He appeared to the apostles, I think it was something like over 40 times. And it was over 500 people at one time that he appeared to and talked to of the things concerning himself and of the kingdom that they should be preaching. It wasn't just the 12 apostles, but it was over 500 people at one time. And it says, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart. In fact, verse 3 says, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen them 40 days and speaking to them things concerning the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, and not many days hence. And when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? Restore the kingdom to Israel. And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own power. He kind of rebuked them there. And sometimes we try to get into things that's none of our business. There was two kings that went to war, and this one king inserted himself into that war. And the king warned him. He said, this is of God. You're going to do yourself a lot of hurt here if you meddle in this war. And he wouldn't listen. And he died in that war. He should not have been there. There's some things that God does in people's lives that we should not stick our nose into. Amen. Because not everything is our business. We should not insert ourselves into situations of our brothers and sisters that the pastor should be taking care of. Amen. I've been taught that is, as pastor, that is my business. It is your business to pray for them. It is your business to love them, not to judge them. But always give them the right hand of fellowship, not condemn them. And just be a brother. Love them. Because we all have things that, you know, that we want each other's support and help and prayers and love in. And he said, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Now, I think I want to do Luke, the 24th chapter, and verse 44. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which are written in the law of the prophet, in the law of Moses, in the prophets, in the Psalms concerning me. Then he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remissions of sin should be preached in his name. Now this is the, now Luke was a doctor. He was not one of the 12 apostles. He was a doctor. But he followed Jesus' ministry. And he began his writing by saying, and nobody understands who Theophilus was. I mean, there are speculations I've studied, and Pastor has. We've all studied to find out who this person was, but whoever it was, there's no information on him. But he said, I've had perfect understanding from the beginning. So what he's saying is that, you know, I totally followed the Lord's ministry, and I understand it perfectly. So he said, and that repentance and remissions of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry you in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. They were at Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost when this came to pass. They did not depart from Jerusalem. They stayed there. When he said tarry, it meant to wait. And over the years, Pastor, I'm sure you've seen it, and Vicki has probably many others of you, that when people came to the altar to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, we didn't know how to pray with them. One of the worst mistakes we did was we tried to clean them up when they got to the altar. It was a mistake. I hurt a lot of people, offended a lot of people, and they left. But learning how to pray with people, amen, and seeing them filled it's just, I don't know the words to put with it, but it's just so awesome. But he said, you shall be endued with power from on high. Amen. And so, in the third chapter of the book of St. John, Jesus was talking, Nicodemus came to Jesus. He was one of the Jewish rulers. He came to Jesus by night, privately talking with Jesus, because there was a law made by the Pharisees and the Sadducees that if anybody was caught talking to Jesus or believing on him, they would be cast out of the synagogue. They weren't allowed to come back. And that was a very important thing for them. But they weren't allowed to come back into the house of God. And so a lot of them came to Jesus at night privately talking with him. And so the scripture says that Nicodemus, and Jesus answered and said unto him, well, first Nicodemus said there, the same came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that you do except God be with him. Jesus answered and said to him, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born again when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb? Well, you know, I mean, it does sound kind of something you never heard of, being born again. I mean, you know, I would have that reaction, just like when he said, except you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. And I'm like, what? I'm going to be a cannibal? I mean, what kind of savior are you? I mean, we're going to eat your flesh and drink your blood? Yuck. You know? One of those things. So Nicodemus is like, wow, how can this, I don't know how I can do this over again. How can I would have the same question. How can I enter my mother's womb the second time and be born? I mean, like, I don't understand what you're talking about here. But Jesus answered and said, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spiritual. And he said, marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. He said, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but you cannot tell whence it come and whither it goeth, and so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. So, right here, when I have used this as a quick Bible study for someone that needs the Holy Ghost, and I said, okay, so we know the wind. Jesus used something that was very common to all of us. The wind blowing, we feel it in our hair, you can see the trees moving, and all these, and this is what Jesus taught about. But he said, you can't see where the wind comes from, you can't see where it returns to, but you can see the effects of it. You can see leaves blowing. In fact, when it gets really bad, you see trees bending. You can actually see chairs flying through the air and things like that when it actually turns into a tornado. But the Spirit, he said, the wind moves things. You see the effects of it. And he said, so is everyone that's born in the Spirit. And he said, you shall hear. And we've all heard the sound of the wind whistling through trees and the leaves of our houses and things like that. We've all heard the sound of the wind. And so what is the first thing that we listen for when a child is born? We listen for that cry. So on the day of Pentecost, there came a sound from heaven, like a mighty rushing wind that filled all the house where they were sitting. And they all, and the Spirit set up on them clothing as tongues of fire. And the scripture says, when it filled them, they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So this is what Jesus was talking about when he said, you can see where the Spirit moves things, and you can hear the sound of it. And he was explaining to Nicodemus, before the Holy Ghost, before the promise of the Father came, this is what was going to happen. The one prophet that did speak of speaking with other tongues when you're Spirit-filled was the prophet Isaiah in the 28th chapter of Isaiah. Because he said, with stammering lips and other tongues will I speak unto this people, that they may have rest for their soul. The Holy Ghost delivers us from sin. He gives us rest. He gives us peace. Amen. And the Apostle Paul inserted this in the teaching of the gifts of the Spirit in the 14th chapter of the book of Corinthians. And he stopped right in the middle of all the teaching. And he said, but I thank my God that I speak with tongues more than y'all, because there are those that says, well, you shouldn't speak in tongues if you don't have an interpreter. There are these denominations that have taught, yes, the apostles received the Holy Ghost. Yes, those people spoke with tongues. But if you don't have an interpreter, you should not speak. Well, Jesus never told them you have to have an interpreter before you're filled with the Holy Ghost. There was no one in the upper room with the gifts of the Spirit to interpret what was being said. It was just that all nationality, every nation had come together. And they heard each other speaking in each other's language the marvelous works of God. They understood what each other was saying because it was in their languages. And so the Apostle Paul then quoted the prophet Isaiah, and he said, very bold was the prophet Isaiah when he said, with stammering lips and other tongues, what Apostle Paul said, like stammering lips and the tongues of other men, that I will speak unto this people, yet for all this, saith the Lord, they will not hear me. And so, early on when I was first begin to live the Lord, working a wheel cover factory. So, as it was daily, we had discussions about the Bible. And this day was talking about the Holy Ghost and speaking with other tongues. And one of them piped up. They got very heated. And they said, that speaking in tongues is of the devil. It's straight from hell. Now, I cannot explain any other way than this of what God did in that very moment. The Holy Ghost came down so powerfully that everybody instantly stopped and never spoke. And the Holy Ghost fell upon me. And I said, there was a day when Jesus was casting out devils. And they said, he's casting out devils by the prince of devils, Beelzebub. And though they didn't have the Holy Ghost, the day of Pentecost had not come. But Jesus said, there is no forgiveness for you now nor ever, because you have blasphemed the Holy Ghost. You just called God a devil. There is no forgiveness for you. And the Holy Ghost fell on me, and I spoke that. And nobody could say a word. It hushed that whole place. That person that spoke that will never receive forgiveness. There is things you can speak against God that he will not forgive. There are things that you can speak against God's people. If you don't ask forgiveness, there's never going to be forgiveness for you. This is not. It was Grace Day, after the day of Pentecost, Ananias and Sapphira. There was a need. Everybody agreed to sell and give the money. And they lied. They kept back part of the money. The two of them was the only one that knew about it. But the Holy Ghost showed Peter. And Peter asked them, did you do this? And they said, yes. He said, well, you lied to the Holy Ghost. And they dropped dead. They dropped dead. This is not a joke. This is not something that you can take lightly and speak any way you want to about it, because it is God's work. Amen. It is our salvation. It is our deliverance. It is our walk with God. It is our way to heaven. Amen. So, this is a very serious thing. Amen. Because our lives depend on it. Our walk with God depends on others making it or not making it. Amen. And so, how we walk with God, if we walk faithfully, amen, with him. I know people have this concept, you can't live above sin, but you can. Because he said, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all of the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall hurt you. We live beneath what God has given us. In the book of Daniel, talking about this, it says we have received a kingdom of which there will be no end. There is no end to the Holy Ghost. There is no end to heaven. There is no end to Jesus. Jesus is the kingdom. The Apostle Paul said the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Amen. The scripture says the kingdom of God is within men and they press into it. Is it always easy? No. Is there self-restraint? Yes. Amen. We press into it. We have a daily warfare. Amen. The flesh wars against the spirit and the spirit wars against the flesh. Sometimes the devil will attack us in our bodies, in our spirits. Amen. Trying to hinder our walk with God and even hinder a service. Amen. Many things happen. I had a nephew that passed away early this morning. Died in his sleep, or so they say. I mean, don't really know what happened. Amen. But we got to lay those things aside. Amen. To minister and to do what God has called us to do. Amen. And so, talking about the promise of the Father. Amen. And so, today is just teaching on the Holy Ghost. What the Holy Ghost is. How the Holy Ghost works. Amen. How we know we have the Holy Ghost. Amen. So, we also find... I'm out of time. Wow. Okay. One quick thing. The 12th chapter of the book of Zechariah. I'm going to do this quickly, Pastor. Verse 1. This is God talking. Thus saith the Lord that created heaven and earth, Zechariah 12 and 1. Thus saith the Lord that created heaven and earth, laid the foundation, created man, spirit of man, and so on. And verse 10. And he said, and I will pour out upon the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and a supplication. For those of you that say, we are living in the day of grace and we no more speak with other tongues, you got it wrong. Because this is also talking about the day of Pentecost. There was only one time that the Spirit was poured out. I even find grace is mentioned in the Old Testament. The Holy Ghost was mentioned in the Old Testament. They never spoke with tongues because the new birth had not yet happened. Amen. And then it says, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. This was God speaking in verse 1. He said, this was God speaking. I've done these things. And then he says, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. And we know there's only one that was pierced, and that was Jesus. I did a Bible study with a Church of God lady and her son about 3 or 4 years ago. And we went through all the water baptism scriptures, and she finally said, well, first thing she said to me, I gave her the pamphlet. She said, no, I don't want to talk about that. I was like, okay. But I'd already knew because the young lady at our church that said the Bible says, she called me, she said, I think you need to handle this. Don't give it to one of the team members because I think you need to handle this. This lady tried to pin me on, am I Jesus only? And so we understand what that statement means. And said, okay, so when I gave her the pamphlet, she said, no, I just want to know if you're Jesus only. And I sat there, paused for a second, and I looked at her and I said, well, is there any other name? She said, well, no. I said, well, there you go then. So finally she agreed, yeah, I possibly could see being baptized in the name of Jesus, but I cannot see that Jesus is God. So I went through all the one God scriptures, and then when I read that scripture to her, and I made her admit when we first read that scripture that this is God talking about himself. I understand that. When I read verse 10, she said, oh, now wait a minute. Oh, no. Oh, no. I mean, the light came on. She saw one God message, but she refused to accept it. We need to receive and accept the word of God if it's proven to be true. Amen. And we know it's true. God bless. Thank you. Sorry, Pastor, I went over.
Thank you, Brother Ben. Let's all stand this morning. The power of the Holy Ghost. How can we not live without it? And why would we not want to live without it? So before we close this session out, I think we just need to lift our hands. We need to thank the Lord for what he has done, the power that he has given us. Lord, I thank you. I thank you, God, for coming here to earth, God, in a fleshly form, God. And I pray, God, I thank you for the salvation of Calvary through the death, the burial, and the resurrection. Thank you, Lord, for the power of the Holy Ghost that you have given to us freely. And Lord, as we go into this next worship set and our next service, God, I just want you to just flow through this place. Allow the Holy Ghost power that's within us to just flow through this place. Lord, you are a comforter. This is a comforter. This is a comfort. And Lord, you gave it to us to comfort us. Give us the power and authority over our enemies, over our flesh. In the name of Jesus. God bless you. Thank you, Brother Ben, for this Bible study this morning. And we will be back here at 11 o'clock. So if your children are in Sunday school, feel free to go and collect them, I guess. And we will be back here in a few moments. God bless. Guess we could take this time to greet some guests. Greet each other, brothers and sisters. God bless you.